But yet this king followed in his father's footsteps. He didn't learn the lesson. And so many of these kings did not learn the lesson that their father taught them. A lesson that sin brings consequences. A lesson that they must love and honor the Lord. But they failed to do so because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Word of God says.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Spent in Vanity and Pride by Joseph Greer. Welcome to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. We're delighted to have you with us as we consider the Word of God together. The Scriptures are full of accounts of various individuals and how they lived for God, or perhaps they lived against God and they followed their own ideas. We are going to consider today vital lessons from King Amaziah, one of the kings of Judah. May the Lord bless his word as it is preached to us.
Of the British royal family contains many interesting accounts over the centuries. We can recount the life of Queen Elizabeth I, who reigned over a progressing nation, not only religiously and spiritually through the Protestant Reformation, but as a seafaring nation with the defeat of the Spanish Armada and the exploration of the New World. We can think also of the reign of Queen Victoria, or the reign of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and we can see the great respect that many attribute to their characters. However, there is always a bad apple, as the saying goes, or a few bad apples. The reign and the actions of King Charles I led to the Civil War in the 1640s in England. He was tried and charged for all which treasons and crimes this court doth adjudge that he, the said Charles Stuart, as a tyrant, traitor, murderer, and public enemy to the good people of this nation, shall be put to death by the severing of his head from his body. And King Charles I was executed by the English Parliament in 1649. The actions of his son came to the throne after his other brother, King Charles II, had restored the monarchy. James II came to the throne, and his actions led to what is known as the Glorious Revolution and the reign of King William III, who came over from Holland. William defeated James at the Battle of the Boyne in 1690, an event still celebrated back in my home country to this day. And so when we consider just those few accounts, the reigns of the British monarchy are certainly interesting and fascinating history. And the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel were no exception. The history of their reigns is rather like a roller coaster, plenty of ups and downs, and sometimes the odd loop to loop. In the years prior to 2 Corinthians chapter 25, we have here before us the reign of Joash. He reigned from around 836 to 796 BC. He began to reign at the age of 7 and reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And the priest Jehoiada was one of his leading advisors. But after his death, he was influenced by the princes and fell into great sin. Jehoiada's son warned him, but Joash was slain. The Lord sent a small army of Syrians and delivered a great host of Judah into their hands. And the king was slain in his own bed as revenge for the death of Jehoiada's son. And so ended his reign. And at the age of 25 then, his son Amaziah came to the throne of Judah. He reigned, as chapter 25 tells us, for 29 years, but his reign mirrored that of his father. He walked in the ways of the Lord to a certain degree, but yet as many do, he started well, but he finished badly. And how often that can be said of us, how often that can be said of our lives. We start well, and even spiritually we can start well, but often the end does not finish so good. The name Amaziah means the strength of the Lord, or strengthened by Jehovah. Yet his name reminds us of the lack of strength he sought from the Lord. The records of the kings and the chronicles of the kings of Judah found in Scripture are historical books, books that deal with the various aspects of royal and prophetic history. However, these records are not merely historical or factual, but being part of the Word of God, they contain many spiritual lessons for us today. And so as we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, I want us to consider very simply, vital lessons from King Amaziah, Vital lessons from King Amaziah. And firstly, I want you to see that we must have a perfect heart and not mere works. We must have a perfect heart and not mere works. Notice what verse 2 says. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. This king did that which was right in the Lord's sight, openly keeping his commandments, openly abiding and adhering and living to the standard that was set by King David. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and the verse 3, it says about Solomon, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. But it says he loved the Lord and he walked in the ways of his father. And verse 14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. If we move to chapter 9 and the verse 4, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. And we see something in these verses. There are many other verses we could turn to, but we see a fundamental truth that we find connected to the kings. And we see very simply that the life of David and the godliness of David and the God-centered reign of David was the standard for these kings. The Word of God tells us they walked or didn't walk in the ways of David. And the Word of God continually refers to David's relationship with God as the standard for the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Acts 13 verse 22 gives us God's review of David. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. John Gill, the commentator, said that David was the one on whom the heart of God was set and who had an interest in his heart's love. And when we think of David, God took great delight and pleasure in him. He had a heart that loved the Lord. He had a heart that, while he was not perfect, he had a heart that loved the Lord his God and sought him all the days of his life. He was a man who sought to live and govern as God decreed. We must note he was not a perfect king. He fell into temptation and in lust and in great sin. But the general direction of his life was focused toward the God of Israel. There was that living relationship with the Lord, that desire to walk in the commandments of the Lord. I want you to turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And here we have a psalm of David, psalm that expresses David's heart and David's belief toward the Lord. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him, he says, cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He says there, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And so this psalm teaches us that the focus of David's heart is his God. Tonight, what is the focus of your heart? Is your heart focused upon God? Is it focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your heart like the heart of David, seeking after the Lord, trusting in the Lord, putting the Lord first? Psalm 78, verse 8, speaks about a rebellious generation and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And that is the problem we see today in this generation. There is a generation that has not set their heart aright. And the relationship between them and the God of heaven is not right. They're living in sin. They're living in rebellion. And they're rejecting the God of heaven. Their heart is not aright. Tonight, is your heart not aright? Is your heart not right with God? Is your heart far from Him? It's focused on other things. It's focused upon this world and upon its sin and upon its lust and its iniquity. Maybe you reject the great sins of this world, but there are other things that have your heart and have your desires and have your attention and your affections other than the God of heaven. King Amaziah went about and did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. On the surface, he looked good. But the Lord sees the heart. And his heart was not perfect toward God. And this changes the whole thrust of verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Therefore, he was like David. Therefore, he loved the Lord. Therefore, his heart was where it ought to have been. Therefore, he was a godly king. But then this little phrase at the end of verse 2 changes it all. But not with a perfect heart. You see, you can go about all the activities of religion. You can be a good person. You can do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, not perfectly. But yet you can seek to keep God's law and seek to obey Him and live somewhat of a righteous life, but yet your heart is not perfect. Your heart is not perfect. And this verse is showing us that Amaziah's heart is not what it should be. And his heart was not right with God. His actions betrayed what his heart was like. And tonight, do your actions betray the darkness, the vileness, and the wickedness of your heart because you know not Christ as Savior? Do your actions betray a heart that is maybe not as close to God as it ought to be? You profess Him and you say you love Him, but there are sins that are hidden away that you want in your life and you want to keep hidden within your life. Sins that affect that relationship between you and God, but on the surface, all looks like a calm sea. It looks good. It looks good. But yet it could be said, your heart is not perfect. There's sin that needs to be dealt with. There's sin that you need to bring before the Lord and repent of. The Lord expects that full devotion from His people. Full devotion, and that reminds us of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. God is to be the first in our lives. He's to be our first love, our foremost love. And we see that Amaziah was not a king like David. He was more like his father in chapter 24. Some of these kings were the complete opposite to their fathers, yet some were exactly the same. It's a bit like what we have today. There are those who are exactly like their father, and they look like their father, and they talk like their father. And if you knew their father and you just met them and you didn't know who they were, you would think there was some sort of relationship here. But then you get others and you think, how are they ever related? They're so different. But yet this king followed in his father's footsteps. He didn't learn the lesson. And so many of these kings did not learn the lesson that their father taught them. A lesson that sin brings consequences. a lesson that they must love and honor the Lord. But they fail to do so because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Word of God says. And we find King Joash in 2 Kings 14. And it says in verse 3, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did." Amaziah is in view. "Howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places." And what we have here is he followed the path of his father. And he kept the high places. He said he was of the Lord, but he kept those places of false religion for the people to engage in. And it is possible to follow the Lord with half a heart, but half a heart is not enough. Half a heart does not bring repentance. Half a heart does not bring faith. Half a heart toward God does not bring salvation. It is possible to engage in the work of the Lord and proceed to serve Him with half a heart. Like the church at Ephesus, they did all the right things, but yet their heart was not right with God. He was not first. And what did Christ do? He rebuked them. He rebuked them. "Thou hast left thy first love." But in 2 Kings 14, which we just read, there was a failure to remove idolatry out of the land. That is familiar. There are many verses by many kings, and this is something they often fail to do, to drive idolatry out of the land. And we see that this king, because he did not have a perfect heart, he failed to deal with sin. And that sin later came and it destroyed him. It destroyed him. Because what do we find in 2 Chronicles 25? He engaged in idolatry himself, but we're jumping ahead of ourselves. But it later destroyed him. He allowed false religion and he allowed false worship to continue. And child of God, sin must always be dealt with. Sin within our lives not to fester and allowed to grow and allowed to flourish within our lives. We must put it to death, as Paul spoke to the Romans. "If ye through the Spirit do mortify, do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." John Owen, the English Puritan, said that the choicest believers, who are assuredly freed from the condemning power of sin, ought to make it their business all their days to mortify the indwelling power of sin. And John Owen wrote a book, The Mortification of Sin, the putting to death of sin within our lives. He knew the importance of this and desired the believer to mortify the flesh by the help of the Spirit of God. It ought to be our business all our days to flee sin, but yet we find this man on the surface serving the Lord, in his heart far from God, and he allows sin and idolatry to fester within the land. And as we close this point, we need to make an observation. The kings of Israel who fell into sin influenced and affected the nations fall into sin. Amaziah is an example of that. Zedekiah at the end of this book is also an example. And we have an influence, dear believer, within the church and the workplace and in our families for the gospel. And what does sin do? Not only does it affect us and our hearts and our lives and our relationship with God, but it affects and hinders that influence for the gospel outside of us. For you.
Spurgeon's devotional today brings us to John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 16. "They took Jesus and led him away. He had been in agony all night. He had spent the early morning in the hall of Caiaphas. He had been hurried from Caiaphas to Pilate, from Pilate to Herod, and from Herod back again to Pilate. He had, therefore, but little strength left, and yet neither refreshment or rest were permitted him. They were eager for his blood, and therefore led him out to die, loaded with the cross. Well may Salem's daughters weep, my soul, do thou weep also. What learn we here as we see our blessed Lord led forth? Do we not perceive that truth which was set forth in shadow by the scapegoat? Did not the high priest bring the scapegoat, and put his hands upon its head, confessing the sins of the people, that thus those sins might be led upon the goat and cease from the people? Then the goat was led away by a fit man into the wilderness, and it carried away the sins of the people, so that if they were sought for, they could not be found. Now we see Jesus brought before the priests and the rulers, who pronounce him guilty. God himself imputes our sins to him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us, and as the substitute for our guilt, bearing our sin upon his shoulders, represented by the cross, we see the great scapegoat led away by the appointed officers of justice. Beloved, can you feel assured that he carried your sin? As you look at the cross upon his shoulders, does it represent your sin? There is one way by which you can tell whether he carried your sin or not. Have you laid your hand upon his head, confessed your sin, and trusted in him? Then your sin lies not on you. It has all been transferred by blessed imputation to Christ, and he bears it on his shoulder as a load heavier than the cross. Let not the picture vanish till you have rejoiced in your own deliverance and adored the loving Redeemer upon whom your iniquities were laid. We trust that our program today has been a blessing to you. Thank you for joining us, and we invite you to join us again day by day as we bring the Word of God here on this station. Do get in touch with us if these programs have been a blessing to your own heart, or if you have an inquiry regarding the truth of God. Do get in touch. The details are in the following announcements. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.